for extreme times. This is A View from Space with the Spaceman on Talk Radio AM 640.
I'm the Spaceman. This is A View from Space. I'd like to welcome you in if you're driving around town right now listening to AM 640. I welcome you in. Or if you're listening right now on your AM 640 app, maybe listening at work, checking the show out that way, I welcome you in also. Or if you're listening to me right now on Shaw Direct on channel 865, picking up the show there, I welcome you in. Or if you're listening on your 3 or 4G personal communication device, the fastest growing way to check this show out, via the Stream the World software, I'll welcome you in. Or maybe you're, what some call, sitting in the best seat of the house, in front of your Mac, your PC at home, logged on to 640toronto.com, picking up the live audio stream in there, I welcome you in. Wherever you are in the world, I welcome you in. What a week it's been. And you know what? We saw this week, we saw the tip of the iceberg that's headed for the United States of America as a ship. And those were John Stumpf, a takedown, Wells Fargo CEO, banking, grilled on Capitol Hill a couple of times in the last few weeks. Wow. Shamed in front of them all. No answers whatsoever. Crippled on a world stage as the world watched. And then Deutsche Bank gets hit by the American Justice Department for $14 billion. The tit for tat on the Apple $14 billion tax evasion of what the European Central Bank is claiming. So you see, there's clearly two sides fighting right now, and it's moved into the economic realm. The Rothschilds controlling Europe, the Rockefellers controlling America. Both friends, always together when the goal is a common goal, but split apart and cause the disruption when needed. And it's time for that. You see, the fact that the United States national debt has surpassed $19 trillion. A trillion, by the way, is a billion billion. $19 trillion raises a number of important concerns. The next president of the United States will be facing this huge, large public debt. The greatest in the history of America's 240 years. Will the government increase the tax burden? The new person? Is it just a house of cards waiting to collapse this entire global economy? How badly will this affect the children and grandchildren of the Western world? Because America, tied to Canada, and if you're listening to me in Canada, you're thrown in with the Americans. The national debt surpasses $19 trillion. John Stumpf, Wells Fargo CEO, cheating, trying to make money, drive the stock price high in his company. That's what the goal was. Shame this week. Then Deutsche Bank, a possible bailout by Angela Merkel, was the talk. But no real bailout is necessary. This is just a show that's being put on that's telegraphing this one thing. There's something big coming, big, down the pipe. And it's not a terrorist attack. It's an economic attack. And it's going to happen as soon as the new president of the United States takes office. Because, you see, there was another small little part of that. Two-thirds of the iceberg, remember, are underwater. A third of that showed again this week, along with John Stumpf and the Deutsche Bank. Possible bailout. Panic. Simply because they were going to be owed $14 billion to the American government to the Justice Department for mis-selling bonds in the 2008 debacle that really is in the rearview mirror now, but really actually is very foreboding on what's coming ahead, because that is the reason what's coming ahead is what we did in the past back in 2008. More on that deeper into tonight's show. But let me just say this. Not only do we have the European Bank, the Central Bank, and the American Central Bank, the Fed, hashing it out with the people in the middle, always getting squeezed, because the elite rich never lose their money. It's always put in a safe place. This time it's going to be gold. Now, there have been three bailouts for the United States of America. QE1, December of 08 to March of 2010, started at $600 billion, ended up being $1 trillion. That's printed money, free money, floating out there. QE2 was November 2010. It shut down in June of 2011. Another $600 billion to that other $1 trillion you can add on. And then QE3, the latest one, September of 2012 to December of 2013. Another $850 billion printed. Now, since 2014, the Federal Reserve Bank in America has been steadily tapering its bond buying program down to from $85 billion per month, as the labor market supposedly was beginning to show impressive improvement. Right. These accountants can make figures jump through hoops. The Fed is also very political and has raised its head, its ugly head, in this presidential debate and this presidential campaign that's going on. But it was a faked recovery after all of this money was thrown onto the streets, because all that money ever did was go to didn't go to infrastructure building. It didn't go to recreating jobs. Or even defense. You know where it went? All the money that was printed? And I'll tell you right now, all three QEs, all added together, you arrive at a grand total of $1,450 billion printed in the last 8 years. You know where that money went? It was held by the central bank, the Fed in America's case here. They gave the money to the biggest banks in America, their buddies. Their buddies, the biggest banks in America, turned around and gave that money to the banking cabal investment firms, who in turn stuck it all in the stock market. That's why you saw all of those incredibly high record numbers that came out of the Dow, the FTSE, setting records in Europe. And the DAX in Germany, all that newly printed money went into buying paper on the world stock market that artificially propped up things that, well, sort of make it look like it's doing okay. And maybe even 1-2% growth. But all that really did, buying all of that useless paper in the stock market, just drove stock prices to record highs. A record high set day after day for a while there. That's all it did. Nothing else. Drove up the price of stocks. The average man and woman on the street saw none of the $1,850 billion that they're on the hook for. That's coming home to roost. It's the next president's job to tackle it. Can you say the king of debt as a president of the United States as they close in on this war of the central banks around the world? It's the Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm just getting started. I've got to call a spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. You can email me at space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. The only way I communicate is by email. D writes, correction, a trillion equals 1,000 billion, not a million. Oh, that's right. But, you know, what's a couple of zeros here and there? As they like to say in the banking business. Give me this. You tell me that you're going to pay the debt down. And then maybe we'll start getting on the same page. Because it doesn't matter if it's 20 zeros, 40 zeros, or 50 zeros behind the numbers. It's unpaybackable, is my point. Here's something else, too. When Deutsche Bank got that hefty $14 billion fine, the shares this week on the Dow on Thursday temporarily left the Deutsche Bank with only a market value of just a mere $17 billion. The fine was to be $14 billion. Sounds like it's going to be a little bit lower, but then I have not seen that figure as yet either. And you know those figures, smoke and mirrors. They fluctuate quite quickly and very, 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 very extravagantly. I mean, when they miss by a lot. So you see, there is a cash crunch coming. The biggest institutions have been shaken. Deutsche Bank, one of the biggest banks in all of Europe, in all of the world. Actually, possibly talk of a bailout by the German government. I know it's not going to happen. It's panicking, but the point is, the Illuminati-controlled mass media are telegraphing that economic problems big time are coming. And how about this week also? Another part of that one-third showing of that iceberg that's coming with two-thirds underwater. Earlier this week, it was Wednesday, the United States Congress averts the government shutdown as the Senate and then the House approved the short-term spending bill, allowing the lawmakers to avoid their crisis and keep the government going until, it's only a small extension, they run out of money December 9th, 2016. Inauguration Day for the first president isn't until January. December 9th, the American government runs out of cash again. Now, there is one more thing. And that is, how did we get there? You have to have a long memory. You can't have the short, quick little turnaround, forget about what happened last month and move on to this month's news. You have to know that it's being stacked against you quietly and almost secretly behind your back. There were actually four things that have put America in its greatest 240-year debt. Greatest debt of all time. Number one was FDR's New Deal of the 1930s. And I've made a statement before of saying that Donald Trump may just do what Delano Roosevelt did in the 30s to win that election for the Democrats, which was to get people that had never voted Democrat in their life to vote. Many different cliques, very dissatisfied with the growing depression coming. The dirty 30s were about to start. And FDR offered jobs for everyone. And so many different factions, different groups of people all over America, flip what they used to vote, aren't voting that anymore, and voted for FDR. This is exactly what Donald Trump could be doing with repetition of history. Unifying all of these small groups around enough to gain the presidency. Just like FDR did for the Democrats. Trump may do in 2017 for the Republicans. And how clever was it for the Republicans to take someone, and everyone knows politicians are hated, fed up with them, not worth it, can't do the job, give me somebody else. Well, the Republicans gave them someone else and had all of the stalwart, staunch party member Republicans, the true blue boys, rejecting Trump, knowing that the American people would embrace him all the more. Then there was LBJ's war on poverty in the 60s. Then Nixon's removal of the gold standard in 1971 that got this huge, incredible debt. A successful campaign to divide Americans, too, into the haves and the have-nots. The class warfare kicked in, and guess what? Where we are today. The rich got richer, the poor got poorer. The real action that opened this whole mess for good. No looking back. Face your huge debt. Was President Nixon's final removal of the gold standard in 1971, dubbed the Nixon Shock. Prior to this, you see, you could actually redeem a United States banknote for gold. In 1966, the U.S. held about $13 billion in gold reserves. While this was sufficient to back the dollars held in America, it was not enough to cover the dollars held outside our borders. With the Vietnam War becoming more expensive, you know what Nixon had to do? The removal of the gold standard. That opened the door for congressional overspending. And away they went from there. We're going to return to the gold standard after currencies have been gutted. And how do you gut currencies? You print a lot of currencies. It's exactly what every central bank around the world is doing today. Printing free money. All it's going to do is get you into a worse quagmire. Yes, and one more thing while we're on the touring of the banks. Another group that's highly, highly lucrative in the Illuminati's play on the global banking system is the Vatican, with their incredible banking institutions. You heard what happened to Pope Francis in Georgia, didn't you, Tbilisi? The Orthodox Church snubbed him. Yeah. He had a huge mass that was going to be conducted in a stadium in Tbilisi, and the local patriarchate declines to take part over procedural differences. The mass held by Pope Francis earlier this week had a stadium that was up to half empty. More than 80% of the population in Georgia, of course, is Georgian Orthodox Christian. And the Vatican actually, we're told, and had expected the Georgian Orthodox Church to send a delegation to Mass in Tbilisi, even though it was announced earlier that the clergy would not be taking part due to problems, dogmatic differences, dating back to the Middle Ages. But in the end, no Orthodox bishop showed up at the half-empty stadium. But you know what the Pope does. He's not out converting people into his religion. What he's doing is checking on his assets. The Vatican plays a role and the collapse, the financial collapse of the global economy. And now, I need to say this. Then guess what? This entire American election is only a sideshow. A sideshow of the greatest proportion ever put on display for all the world to see. The Americans are holding an election. And look what's come out of it. Look what the message is. The American empire is crumbling apart. Caesar is shown to be crazy, corrupt, a criminal, a liar, a bully, a bigot, and a big spender that's in a whole heap of debt problems. No, this sideshow is only a distraction. And just what are we being distracted from? That's my focus tonight. The distraction on ABFS, on Talk Radio, AM 640. More of this. It's incredible when I return. Direct your emails to space at 640toronto.com or spaceman at 640toronto.com. Got two addresses. Keep the flow going. Got a lot of emails, and I'm going to read every single one of them I get, and they come in before the show even begins. ST writes, with over 300 billion euros lent to Greece since 2010, you would think a lot of it would be used to help the country regain liquidity, economic traction, yet over 90% of it was returned to the major European lending institutions to pay down their bad debts, leaving the people with, you guessed it, an unpayable, unpaybackable debt, just like the states. The only way a country can really stay out of debt is to have that country print its own money debt-free. Canada used to do it, as my emailer states here, did it until 1972 when Pierre Elliott Trudeau, the father of the young Trudeau that we have now as Prime Minister, what he did was, he changed the law where we didn't borrow from our own bank, our Canadian bank, any longer. We borrow it from European institutions, private banks. You see, Canada used to own the bank. So you can imagine if Canada, the country, owns the bank, they want to print more money, they just do a deal with their mint. No problem. There's no usury fee or anything like that. You just pay back the debt and then borrow more the very next year. So it's sort of like putting it in a very, very, very small little understandable way is I give you $10 loaned. When next year rolls around, you give me that 10 back and ask me for another 10 and I'll give you that 10 and away we go. And well, you can make that number bigger. But you see how it constantly doesn't generate any interest rate. The bill doesn't get any higher. You pay it back? Because you see, before 1972, the country of Canada could actually borrow from the government for future 2/3 of what it was going to make projected that year. Then it would pay that money back and then ask for the loan again. So there was no real usury fees. It was free, debt-free. Now, Pierre Trudeau, 1972, changed the law so we had to borrow from private banks, private institutions. That started Canada on the debt run. So you see, this is happening all over the world because they're going to take over the world through debt. Debt is going to be the way they kill the American empire. You see, the Illuminati own and control the world's banking systems and are now in the beginning stages of crashing it in order to bring in their new system that will replace it. The electronic funds transfer system, for example, will get rid of cash. It will be the banking system used by the New World Order. It's already here. It's just not mandatory, and there still is cash floating around, but soon there will be no cash. And then, when they come for the American dollar, which looks like they're poised to do in these next 4 years, the American dollar is the key. That's the key to the global economy collapsing so that their new system can be put into place. So that's where I'll start. The American dollar. The history of the great Freemasonic experiment called America, which is really the new Atlantis in the old days. On Talk Radio, AM 640, and A View from Space. So let me jolt your memory. It was the unbelievable breakdown in the American lending standards in 2008. It meant today's market instruments were no more than a worthless pile of paper. Notice how the Illuminati use this contrived market crash to pressure governments, to hustle, cajole, to hold them for ransom. And the puppet politicians pass the plan to bail out the fraudster banking elite in every country around the world. It's the same MO. And as that frenzy peaked, as the debate over the, remember back with George W. Bush was the president, $700 billion bank bailout, and they did General Motors and a whole lot more. Put America with their children's children's children into debt that they can't get out of. So Bush held that emergency meeting at the White House. Obama and McCain even made it more dramatic by appearing and got involved with the politics of the presidential election. One of the country's largest banks, Washington Mutual, if you'll remember, collapsed. WaMu, the 13th bank to fail. The Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation seized Washington Mutual and then sold its banking assets to J.P. Morgan and Chase. They got it for a mere $1.9 billion. The acquisition is J.P. Morgan Chase's second major purchase that year, following the acquisition of the investment bank Bear Stearns, if you'll recall, that went under. A deal that was also engineered by the U.S. government. The FDIC insures the assets held by 8,451 banking institutions in America with a total of $13 trillion as their cap. This deal to get Washington Mutual put control of most of the credit card debt owned by Americans into the hands of J.P. Morgan Chase, now the largest bank in America, second only to the Jesuit-controlled Bank of America. Remember, Pope Francis, a Jesuit. He's now running that banking cabal, too. Remember that it just bought Merrill Lynch, Bank of America, right after 2008, that huge debacle. These two Illuminati-controlled giants control now just about all, and this is why it happened, they targeted those companies directly for one reason: to get control of just about all credit card debt in the U.S. Now, the next stage of this financial attack on the global economy, and especially in America, will be credit card debt. It's coming. The message will be, pay up or you're cut off. Yes, no more credit. And right now, people accept debt as a way of life. But there's usury fees that keep exacerbating the amount. It's going higher and higher all the time. But people don't feel the pressure to pay it off because they're allowed, but not for long. See, all of this is just like the Chicken Little story that we were told as a kid. The sky's falling. The sky's falling. The sky's falling scenario has been playing out for 8 years. Embellished by reports of runs on Asian banks, China owns a lot of the U.S. debt, people are panicking to get their money out since a lot of banks are tied to American debt. The American dollar is not that welcomed around the world now. It's dangerous. They're in too much debt. The vicious circle of printing more and more currency has only made the situation worse. And it's intended to do just that. There's going to be a lot more bad news to come. Oh, and remember the bailout. You know what the definition of a bailout is? Well, there's one with a parachute and aircraft. But the second one exposes the whole fraudulent scheme of the globalist bankers. Listen to the bailout definition. To abandon a harmful or difficult situation. Abandon it. Walk away. Also to leave, to depart. Let me repeat that. The words bailout means to abandon a harmful or difficult situation. Also to leave, to depart. Listen carefully here, because this is of paramount importance, because it's the trigger phase, the trigger phrase rather, of the Illuminati, and reveals that the true meaning of the black magic spell that's already been cast. A bailout does not mean to fix the problem. It means to leave, run away from it, to depart from it. Space back with more on Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com. Or space at 640toronto.com. It's the only way I communicate. JL writes, "Hey, Space, I'm glad it... at least you see this farce with Trump and Clinton for what it really is. There are a lot of people being fooled and swept into the hype of this garbage and picking a side even. This so-called election and the candidates are literally on par with the WWE Wrestling Federation. And people just refuse to see the obvious. It was getting a little lonely out here, being the minority, not falling for any of this crap." JL. Oh, and it's quite easy to see, unless, of course, you're brainwashed. No, they're hiding something. And their distraction, which is this cat fight that's been this insult fight, this low... How low can the two contestants for the presidency of the United States go against one another? Kind of a contest. No. It's all a sideshow meant to distract you from what my focus is tonight on AVFS on Talk Radio, AM 640. And D writes, Canadians still do own the Bank of Canada. Well, we understand that, Dwayne, but here's the thing. Since 1972, we have not borrowed any money from our own Bank of Canada. We borrow it from overseas institutions, the Illuminati's boys, the Illuminati. That's who we borrow our money from now, not our own selves. Used to be that way until 72, and it was Pierre Elliott Trudeau, of course, that changed that. Yes, I got to read one more, because it was Greece that started it all off. And I know this is a Greek person. I'm just going to call him ST. And he says, when I was talking about Greece and the big payout, and he says, since that year, we paid over $1 trillion in interest. Please, Space, if you have not already, please look up John Varoufakis, the ousted former Secretary of Finance to the current Prime Minister Spiras. He's given many interviews, and he has spilled many beans. Oh, they understand. They know what's going on in Greece. They've seen it happen. they're experiencing it. And a lot more countries are going to go the route of Greece until all countries have gone that route. So bailouts do not mean fix the problem. That just added to the trillions and trillions of dollars debt. And in the United States of America, it's the greatest debt the country has ever incurred in its 240-year existence. The Illuminati wore out the printing press trying to cash in their bonds for them. As it turns out, all the foreign nations holding dollar-denominated foreign exchange surplus reserves in the form of treasury paper realized that America was going to inflate their dollar into oblivion. What with all the bailouts and the printing of all that money, so it appeared that they all ran for the door at the same time. Yes, the writing was on the wall. Even Ben Bernanke, the former Fed chair, Helicopter Ben they called him, Helicopter Ben's idea was to take a great big helicopter, fill it full of money, and throw it out onto the streets of American cities and buy their way out of the debt, spend their way out with more of money. Flawed from the very beginning. What a stupid idea. So, in any case, they couldn't print any more Federal Reserve notes on account of the printing press problem. And besides, the notes wouldn't have been good for anything but heating fuel anyway, furnace fodder maybe, bathroom tissue. Right now the helicopter's engines have shut down, and you could hear the sound of soldiers marching toward Iraq right after that happened with Ben Bernanke. Remember? Helicopter Ben, an expert, by the way, on the economic and political causes of the Great Depression and the crash of 29. He's a guy that knew all the inner workings on how to crash an economy and put it into, well, massive debt. And that's why he was chosen to replace Sir Alan Greenspan. Yeah, knighted by the Queen. On Milton Friedman's 90th birthday, November 8th, 2002, Ben Bernanke stated, let me end by and he was then the head of the Federal Reserve before Janet Yellen took over. He said, let me end my talk by abusing slightly my status as an official representative of the Federal Reserve System. I'd like to say to Milton and Anna regarding the Great Depression, you're right. We did it. We're very sorry. In other words, we caused it. But thanks to you, it won't happen again. We won't do it again. The couple, of course, who Ben Bernanke was referring to as Milton Friedman and his co-author for his books, Anna Schwartz. Friedman wrote a lot of articles, you see, and books on the Great Depression, which he called the Great Contraction, arguing that it had been caused by an ordinary financial stock shock in stock markets, whose duration and seriousness were greatly increased by the contraction of the money supply caused by the stupid, misguided policies of the directors of the Federal Reserve. Well, you could call them misguided and stupid, but really their method is in their madness to bring it down. The American Empire, that's what they're going to do. Friedman once said, if you want to see capitalism in action, go to Hong Kong. He believed that the Hong Kong economy was the biggest example of a laissez-faire capitalist economy. The Federal Reserve was totally responsible for converting what might have been, just some garden variety recession, although maybe a fairly severe one, into a major catastrophe. That's what the Federal Reserve has done. They were shooting themselves in the foot constantly. Still are. Instead of using their powers to offset the depression. You see, the Fed presided over a decline in the quantity of money by one-third from 1929 to 1933. back when FDR was about to present his New Deal, just as 2016, it's sort of like the year 1933 with FDR in 33 offering the New Deal for America and their voters to change things, to get out of a depression. And now in 2016, it's Donald Trump offering the New Deal to get out of, they're saying a recession, but let's call it what it is, a depression. And it's getting close to the failure of the free enterprise system. Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. There's more right after this break. This is ADFS on Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm the Spaceman. Communicate by email only, spaceman at 640toronto.com, one address. The other, space at 640toronto.com. Thank you so much for the one you sent. I really appreciate it. I really do. 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago, can you believe it? The word deflation just started to appear in the business news. Definition of deflation? A decline in general price levels, often caused by a reduction in the supply of money or credit. Deflation, you see, can also be brought about by direct contractions in spending, either in the form of a reduction in government spending, personal spending, consumers, or investment spending, investment banks, the big boys like BlackRock and others. Deflation has often had the side effect of increasing unemployment in an economy, too, since the process often leads to a lower level of demand in the economy, you see. Deflation is basically too few dollars chasing too many goods and products. So guess what happens? When there's not enough money for people to spend and go out and buy things, jobs start disappearing because the companies can't make sales. There's no one spending. So what happens is they kill the company and fire all the people. And they all go home unemployed. Deflation. Too few dollars chasing too many products. And it's a way to whittle down 400 department stores down to two. Can you tell me that's not happening? I know you can't. It's happening everywhere. Deflation is setting in. Because the money that we have now is all borrowed money owed to the European banks. You don't think the creditors are going to want, not the money, the power. Money, you see, to the elite rich predator is a tool to get power over you. So shortly after Helicopter Ben made his speech in late 02, the Illuminati consulted with their newly set up Gestapo, you know, the Department of Homeland Security, and they decided to send the stormtroopers into Iraq on March 19th, 2003. That's now known as Gulf War II. Why? Well, listen to me carefully. This is how economies run. Bernanke once said, people know that inflation erodes real value of the government's debt, and therefore, that is in the interest of America to spend itself into as deep a debt as possible so that it can never be paid back. The debt would then be bought by foreign companies. So, intertwining it with America's insurmountable debt with the global system economy, so that when the American dollar crashes, it will pull down the whole global cash house of cards. So this will in turn, as history repeats itself again, cause World War III. eventually. Maybe not right away on the heels of the crash of the American dollar, that is coming, but relatively soon after. Go back in history. The Illuminati never do anything. That hasn't been done before. It's tried and true. They only repeat, simply repeat history. Now, since World War II didn't start for another 10 years after the crash of 1929, you can see the same scenario coming up. The crash of the American dollar, within a decade, big, big trouble. As in a world war. Because when countries run out of money, they mobilize. Try to take more power. Move outward. So you see, the Gulf War was started because wars cost a lot of money. Yes. They're actually billing the American people for those wars. Costs a lot. You put on billions and billions of bailout on top of that, you can get a position of almost 350 million people in America to where they could never pay off their debt ever again. Can't reach it. Can only pay off the interest rate. And soon, when you get into the trillions, you can't even pay off the interest rate. Forget about the principal and getting out of debt. So you first have to go back and understand how the stock markets crashed in 08. They withdrawn all credit to all businesses in an effort to stuff this plan down politicians' throats around the world, that you're in debt. And this pressure would continue until they got their way. The elites kept lending the money, charging an exorbitant amount, getting them into all kinds of huge legal bills, and then getting them to borrow more money to pay that back. Now we're all connected around the world. Anytime now they want, they can pull the string that'll bring down the house of cards with the debt around the world. The Ponzi scheme is what it is. And there's just no way a politician can say no, because when it comes to keeping the government open and keeping the spending going, they just keep borrowing money as long as they can. Soon, the banks will say, can't lend you any. Soon, the credit card companies will say, if you can't pay your bill off, you can't have any more credit. In other words, the crunch is coming. The buck stops there. And the egotistical elite want to give those people that they've got running these financial institutions for these governments to pay the price for the bankers at its hold to maturity value with taxpayer funds, meaning you will pay for crap that is worth pennies on the dollar. Then the American taxpayer will get paid back in hyperinflated dollars on every deteriorating asset, with flagging real estate prices, chipping away at their value without recovery for decades, if not forever. This, of course, means that the collateral on any of these now, no down payment, give them a loan even if he's just breathing and doesn't have a penny in his pocket, mortgages, would impair, would send the country into a spiraling debt, which it has. And the most egregious part of this proposed bailout was that it allowed the government, the Federal Reserve, to dole out the funds and deal with the bad loans without any judicial oversight whatsoever. Full immunity from any criminal prosecution. How about that? and you end up the Illuminati bankers do what they want with the American people. They've got them over a barrel. And if you didn't know, $1 trillion, again, $1,000 billion. And how is this elitist bailout bonanza benefiting the average citizen or the situation? None whatsoever. You see, free trade globalization, the global economy, has become a tripwire. One wrong move and the explosive device is detonated, taking out the entire global financial system in a blaze of shrapnel and glory. The whole house of fraudster cards, rife with trade, investment imbalances, collapses and gets sucked into a gargantuan financial black hole where all the money just simply magically disappears. Yeah, I said black hole. All it will take is one nation whose citizens are fed up with rampant inflation. They will have to break dollar pegs, cash in their U.S. Treasury bonds, absorb the excessive amounts of their domestic currencies by purchasing them with dollars received as proceeds from the sale of Treasury bonds. This strengthens their currency, and it moderates their inflationary problems. Their exports suffer greatly. That means no trade with other countries. There goes the global trade, and this is exactly where the Illuminati want to go until cash, currencies for other countries are wiped out, rendered worthless. It's on the horizon. This is Spaceman Talk Radio. Back with more in a minute. I'm the guy that calls space. It's a View from Space on Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm on about the distraction and focusing on that tonight. The distraction, of course, being the American election with the two Caesars catfighting all the way to the Oval Office, just bringing down any kind of sobriety, any kind of civilness, taking it right out of the presidency, this presidential run. And it's done for a reason, to show the world that America is indeed very sick. Is a bigot. America is broke and in deep, deep debt. Here's how the Illuminati are bringing you down, America. You will eat multiple trillions of dollars from each of these areas. The phony war on terror costs a lot of money. The loss in real estate values caused by record inventories that will be created by defaults and foreclosures, resulting in rampant unemployment, loan fraud, overleveraged consumers, and the combined bailout of the default mortgage companies, along with the shortage of the FDIC's insurance reserves that will be generated by losses incurred on account of what will be anywhere from a thousand bank failures, already suggested by billionaire Wilbur Ross to perhaps as many as half of all the banks in the U.S. going down. I mean, it was just this week we were talking about the largest bank in all of Europe, Deutsche Bank, not being able to stay in business. A $14 billion fine, $17 billion in assets. That leaves you only $3 billion to do banking. You were once the greatest banker, and now you have nothing, really. Basically, that's what it was this week. Many things are likely to occur when the credit default swaps and interest rate swaps, along with that entire bond market, go under. Will be the greatest bear market of all time, with bonds and derivatives, if you play around with the stock market, you know what I'm talking about, which are guaranteed to occur based on the hyperinflation that'll be caused by the other bailouts, as well as the continually burgeoning budget and trade deficits, not to mention new trade deals that may be struck, or may not be, where business will grind to a halt in the very near future, and I'm talking about in the next 6 months to 8 months. And also the loss in purchasing power due to hyperinflation generated by the steps I've just mentioned. And the new wars for profit that I've started in order to restart America's vaporized economy in the wake of the death and destruction caused by, well, the 2008 crash. And you can also add in the costs associated with potential social problems and revolution that are on the streets that are occurring. I'm talking about anarchy, and it's happening now. Martial law, I'm telling you now, is just around the corner for the United States of America. And what they're using are cops killing citizens without what appears to be any cause, any reason to. One or two happens every month, and has been for quite a while, setting the standard. Change the laws so that we can police the people on the streets with the army, martial law. Total martial law could be just around the corner as the American dollar starts to tank. And no one is going to escape that coming juggernaut of losses when the growing quadrillion-dollar derivative Death Star goes supernova. The entire world economy will get sucked into that resulting financial black hole, just the way it's designed to happen. Yes. The House Finance Committee, headed by Republican Representative Barney Frank, and the Senate Finance Committee, headed by Chris Dodd, gave it their usual, I don't know, Yogi, kind of response in order to give the clueless sheeple the appearance that they're going to protect taxpayers from the slimy bankers, when in reality, it's already a done deal. And that's been planned a long time in advance, probably for months, if not years, just like the Patriot Acts. What you see happening right before your eyes right now is the revenge of the Illuminati for the passage of the Glass-Steagall Act, you see. Not only have they repeated that act, but now they've reverted the system back to the way it was when the stock market crashed in 1929. This is why the Bank of America jumped all over Merrill Lynch. And why you're hearing continual overtures for Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley do the same with claims that their business models are flawed. Notice how this is all set up. First, all the legislation put into place, then the system brought into a crisis situation, which was easily accomplished through deregulation in order to propel us into a situation where the Illuminati are not allowed to consolidate their power with the full blessing of the people that are brainwashed. You notice how Bear Stearns was assassinated just before the Fed opened its primary dealer credit facility and its term securities lending facility, which could have saved Bear Stearns. But they arranged to have Bear Stearns' clients abandon them, withdrew all of the money and credit from Bear Stearns, and down they went. So you see, it seems as though the band Pink Floyd are prophets for America. Oh, what I mean by that is, Everyone's comfortably numb now. All have become comfortably numb with the debt that we've all slidden into, thinking it's okay, being distracted with sideshows like a Clinton-Trump presidential race. What were the words? Come on, it's time to go. There is no pain, you are receding. A distant ship, smoke on the horizon. You are only coming through in waves. Your lips move, but I can't hear what you're saying. When I was a child, I caught a fleeting glimpse. Out of the corner of my eye, I turned to look, but it was gone. I cannot put my finger on it now. The child is growing. The dream is gone. I've become comfortably numb. Pink Floyd, The Wall, the song, Comfortably Numb. And you gotta hope and pray that the dream is not yet gone, that Americans can get a fleeting glimpse of their former glory and greatness. But I don't think they wake up in time. I don't think they can stop it. I think it's way out of control, a long time ago. When the United States of America was founded prior to the Declaration of Independence, it was a colony of England. There were a lot of people who arrived in this continent with hopes of beginning a new life. A lot of them were fleeing Europe from debt, from crime. Start your new religion. You could believe what you wanted in America, the New World. And what I'm saying is that many of them that came over to the United States to populate it in the very first were considered criminals. This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. I got more right after this break. This is Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. Thanks so much for the one that you sent. I really appreciate it. I thank you so much for it. History is not taught anymore to the youth. You know why? Because then they would learn what's going to happen in the future. Because, you see, the elites are overlords of this world. Our gods of this world are repeating history over and over until they get what they want. A one-world government. So the United States was basically just a whelp, a pup of the British Empire. As the British Empire, after the Second World War, had to get back into the shadows, populated America, got in on the ground floor on everything, and then they wanted to be a republic, break away from King George III. Benjamin Franklin, in moving to England for a visit, remarked that the colonies were, America, were profiting because they only minted as much money as they needed. And because they minted their own money, Benjamin Franklin was working for the Rothschilds, by the way, and also told this to the Rothschilds. The Rothschilds then directed King George III not to allow any colonies to mint their own money. All colonies were to use the British currency. This led to the Revolutionary War, of course. The country of England had been taken over through its indebtedness due to the war with Spain. Family members, by the way, royalty, all in the same family, Spain and England, the indebtedness being to the Rothschilds banking system, which was in collaboration with the elite royal houses of Europe. It's remained this way since that time. James Madison, Thomas Jefferson, along with others like Lafayette and George Washington, Benjamin Franklin in particular, were aware of the banking controls and the manipulation of nations by the Rothschilds banking system. Quick tutorial on how the Rothschilds banking system took over Britain. One of Rothschild's couriers, a man named Rothworth, after receiving the news the British had won the Battle of Waterloo, he takes off for England, delivers this news to Nathan Mayer Rothschild, a full 24 hours before Wellington's own courier does. Got the news first. Insider trading, as you'd call it today. Nathan Mayer Rothschild quickly enters the stock exchange, instructs all of his workers to start selling bonds. Due to Rothschild's reputation for being one step ahead when it comes to information, the other traders panic, thinking the British have lost the war, and start selling frantically. Selling! Not buying. Selling! As a result, the bonds, as we know them today, sold by the Rothschilds, plummet in value. At which point, Nathan Mayer Rothschild discreetly instructs his workers to purchase all the bonds they can lay their hands on. When the news comes that the British had actually won the war and not lost it like everyone thought, the bonds rocket up to a sky-high level, way higher than they were before even the war started, leaving Nathan Mayer Rothschild with a return of approximately 20-1 on his investment. Not a bad day's work, huh? In fact, Nathan Rothschild openly bragged that in his 17 years in England, he'd increased his stake, given to him by his father, 2,500 times over. How about that for insider trading? For this reason, the Constitution in America, an attempt to guarantee freedoms for individuals, was put together with three branches: the executive, the legislative, and judicial branch. That's how the American government works. And they're all equal. In order to divide the power among these three branches, these people should also have created a financial branch, which then would have been controlled by the people. But they failed to do it. Instead, they had the Constitution so written that Congress would control the money. Congress not only had the right to mint and coin money, but also the right to legislate and make laws. This allowed Congress to be manipulated at a future time into giving away or voting away its right to control its own money. It was turned over to the Federal Reserve Bank. That's who controls it now. The Federal Reserve. In 1895, at the depths of the panic of 1893, that federal treasury was nearly out of gold. Grover Cleveland was then the president, arranged for Morgan to create a private syndicate on Wall Street, that's J.P. Morgan, to supply the U.S. Treasury with $65 million in gold, half of it from Europe, to float on a bond issue that restored the Treasury surplus of $100 million. The episode saved the Treasury but turned the Federal Reserve over to the bankers. So just look at the truth of American history and you'll see who really controls America. The Lincoln Conspiracy. American President Abraham Lincoln was faced with a need to finance his troops for that Civil War. The Civil War itself was staged and set up by the elites, whereby they brought the slaves from Africa to the southern plantations in order to create an atmosphere that would lead to a problem, which could be used for settling into a war, which would divide the nation. The newspapers, being controlled by the Illuminati, began to build up the background and the attitude among the northerners to set the stage for the Civil War. It wasn't really a war against slavery at all. It was really about control of the country. Abraham Lincoln, attempting to finance his troops, looked for money from the banks. and was told that it would cost 26% interest. He then turned to the Constitution, the American Constitution, and printed what's known today as Lincoln greenbacks instead of taking the 26% interest loan from the Rothschilds. And those Lincoln greenbacks were used for financing his armies. They printed their own money, like Canada used to do in before 1972, and never had to borrow any from banking institutions, private ones. Well, the Rothschilds offered Abraham Lincoln a loan to finance the Civil War at 26% interest. You know what he had in mind there. The Rothschilds were about to get into them deep for it. Wars cost a lot of money. He could be indebted, have America indebted to him for years to come, and slowly work on it until he could control it totally and completely, even in the future, right up to 2016 today, which is what they've done. So, instead of taking the loan from the Rothschilds, the European bankers, the creditors of today in America, Abraham Lincoln turned to the Constitution, printed the Lincoln greenbacks, financed that war with that way. Alexander II of the Romanov dynasty, the then Tsar of Russia, prevented France and England from invading the United States during that civil war. During this time, the British and the French, both being controlled by the elites, the Illuminati, prepared to invade the United States, Britain and France. The Tsar of Russia, who was a good friend of Abraham Lincoln, warned these two nations that they would be forced to fight Russia if they invaded the States. This prevented that from occurring, and the Union Army actually won the Civil War. This then led the Illuminati to its prepared efforts to take over America through the banking process known as the Federal Reserve System today, which is owned by a consortium of five banks, global banks. And they planned a takeover of the Russian Empire through its planned evolutionary war. More when I return on Talk Radio AM 640. It's A View from Space. I'm a guy to call a spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. Emails to spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. The Lincoln conspiracy, I call it. Yeah, he was a pawn. Abraham Lincoln was faced with a need to finance his troops for the Civil War. The Rothschilds' banking cabal said it would cost 26% interest to borrow money. So you know what Abraham Lincoln did? Printed his own money. Went to the printing press and printed Lincoln greenbacks, as they were called, because they were green ink that was used. And he financed that and was good as long as they won that Civil War, which they did. Then the American grip on its own destiny, of its own money, its own cash, was thwarted. The Rockefellers and other bankers set up the Illuminati plan to Federal Reserve banking system. In 1905, Henry Morgan, Paul Warburg, Nelson Aldrich, a senator from New York. These three, along with Jacob Schiff, who had everything to do with setting up the UN, by the way, John D. Rockefeller, and several others were secretly transported by train, then by boat, to a place called Jekyll Island. They met there for some time, discussing a plan for an economic system that would allow the banking establishment to control the money of America. These men developed a program which was already written by the Illuminati and presented to Paul Warburg and adapted it to the needs of their purposes. And this was presented as the Aldrich Plan. The majority of members of Congress objected, knowing that the Aldrich Plan, that Aldrich worked for the Wall Street bankers, and they objected to this plain takeover. feeling that it would not be for the benefit of the American people, which they were correct in assuming. They then returned and worked on an alternative plan. They called this plan the People's Plan. This became the Federal Reserve System. These men then had this Federal Reserve System passed in Congress on Christmas Eve, when most of the Congress had already left to go home. No one left to vote, except for those few working for them who passed this Federal Reserve Plan at Jekyll Island. This was intended to prevent any further run on banks or any form of crisis in the economies of the country. Nelson Rockefeller sets the stage for World War II with Japan. And it was 1929 that the crash came. The banks collected 9/10 of all personal property on default mortgages. Nelson Rockefeller's name, after the Senator Nelson Aldrich, and his brother David Rockefeller, during the 40s served as assistants to the Chase Manhattan Bank and its various interests. They also assisted on setting up that which was known as the Pacific Institute of Research. This was set up in Japan. This Pacific Institute was used to create certain political influences in Japan, which helped to, well, polarized Japanese interests against the interests of the United States, therefore set the stage for World War II in the Pacific. With the assistance of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, John D. Rockefeller, and the empire built by him were financed by the Civil War, by the European powers of the Rothschilds, and those forces were allowed to grow and build during World War II into what became the most powerful banking and financial interest of the entire world. The Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, connection, sold war machines to Russia and sets their relatives up in high government positions. After World War II, you see, was completed, the Rockefellers assisted in selling all of the machinery, the war machinery, to Russia and China, allowing these nations to build up their own industrial war machine and to industrialize to a high capacity in order that they might become a greater power. Look what's happened. The Rockefellers sold this, arranged this sale of this to the Rothschilds, and the Rothschilds being in control of Russia and China and the communist forces, and therefore in turn the Rothschilds assisted in moving the war machinery and industries into these countries. The Rockefellers then began to gain greater and greater control over this present United States government. Alan Dulles, being Rockefeller's cousin, was put in charge of the CIA. His brother, Alan's brother, John Foster Dulles, another cousin, was the Secretary of State. And Rockefeller, the Rothschilds in Europe, and Kennedy set the stages for the Vietnam War. This began the movement toward greater power in the United States, being controlled by the banking system, and usurping the power from the hands of the people, that being the government. The power of government had been taken over and taken from the people, and this led to what has become the secret government which controls the United States from the time of World War II right up until today. The shadowy government, they call it. I call them the Illuminati, our overlords, the gods of this world. That tells you something, if you're paying attention. The Cold War, then, between Russia and the U.S., was simply a chess game concocted between the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers as a kind of mind mass manipulation to lead the world government into being put into place. In other words, separate America and Russia, make them enemies. The Cold War. It's coming again, and you can already see it. Called it on this show years ago, just after the fall of the Berlin Wall, actually. I said, Russia, the Soviet Socialist Republic, is only in hibernation. hidden, still exists. I mean, after all, who is running Russia? The KGB leader, Vladimir Putin, from the old USSR days. No, they're going to be the enemy again, because history is going to repeat itself again. The Cold War, Russia, the U.S., a chess game. There's also certain movements when the competition between two entities costs the lives of others. From the viewpoint of the two Illuminati families, this is part of a financial game. The efforts of the Rothschilds to force the United States into Vietnam was partly the cooperation of the Rockefellers and the Kennedys due to the desire of the Rothschilds to have greater control in Southeast Asia. This is in part relating to the lucrative opium market within the Golden Triangle area in China. And part of that effort was used to use up the military supplies of the United States as well as to drive them deeper into debt. And then finally, in the end result, bankrupt America the same way they did with Britain and the Spanish by the Spanish War in the 18th century. You see, there is a method, and it's in their madness. And if you know your study your history, you can see it all happening again. Spaceman Talk Radio AM 640. More next. This is AVFS. It's Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the Spaceman. That's all it is, a view from space. I communicate by email, too, only. space@640toronto.com, one of the addresses, or spaceman@640toronto.com. Now, there is a concerted effort by our overlords, the elites, and the plan is to bankrupt all countries, drive them so deep into debt, they must change their system. Their currency will become useless. In doing so, they will usurp the sovereignty of that nation and be allowed to make the decisions. This is all part of the Illuminati plan for the New World Order, to bankrupt all countries, turn them into satellites by foreclosing on the bankrupt country. There are things happening behind the scenes that could yet prevent them from reaching their goals and their dreams. But there is nothing simple or easy about it. America must, that is, must, get a leader with a backbone to stand up against the elite banking institutions. It's imperative. Time is running out. That's why you hear them saying, the talking head experts I'm saying on the Illuminati-controlled mass media, this is America's last chance. There's only one bullet left in the gun, and that last plan has to be gotten right. You see, if they already have their interest rate at zero, very little money is being lent. There is no bullets in the gun for a central bank like the Federal Reserve to do anything. They're helpless. And this has been done on purpose. So the last plan has to be gotten right. But they don't even have a person with a backbone enough to stand up against the bankers. Because all of the people that are running for the presidency are controlled by bankers. They work for someone. That's why they're running for the office of the President of the United States. This is why I say there's no second chance. It has to be done right. But you know, and I know, it's not going to be done at all. I call the 2008 presidential election as the most important in America's entire history so far, because that election brought about the bailouts, the too big to fail scenario. This next election 2016, will set up the austerity measures coming to America. It's actually kind of a covert war going on all over the globe right now as to who is going to be free and who is going to be in control of the masses. Whether they eventually will awaken enough to throw off the oppressors, or whether they will cuddle up to the oppressors, hoping to seduce them into being nice to their slaves, well, I don't see that happening. I see... the sons of Belial and the Law of One, an Atlantis war repeat. Today, it's not the sons of Belial and the Law of One. It's the Brotherhood of the Snake. The people who are into spiritualism pitting against the people that are into materialism, which is exactly what was in the ancient times of a lost continent of Atlantis, with the sons of Belial and the Law of One. One spiritual group that wanted to move it and help others, and another material group that was just so narcissistic, so self-centered, they want it all for themselves. We have that same situation here now, 2016. The present situation shackling the United States economy and the rest of the world, suffering under what relates to their time in the mid-60s, when silver was taken, the silver backing was taken from the dollar. It was just shortly after that a peculiar thing happened also, which very few people are really aware of, but which had a profound effect on the history in general. In 1969, a person who was remotely related to the Rothschilds went to Europe, met with various bankers in small countries, these being independent bankers not associated with Rothschild Illuminati. This person began explaining a technique whereby the bankers could effectively seize all the gold. The Illuminati had already seized most of the gold. The Rothschilds Bank, along with the Rockefeller Banks, had taken most of it and silver from circulation and held it in their control. At this point in history, it was still possible to buy gold for $32 an ounce. Now, in 2011, it was at $1,923, the highest ever. It's still up over a thousand some. This Rothschild family member, in a meeting with the bankers of 16 nations, small nations, representing a plan whereby they could rake off some of the gold as well as make a large profit. Here's how the plan went. They would purchase gold at the price of $32 an ounce, then take that gold or its certificate of ownership and mortgage that at exactly the same amount, $32 an ounce. They could then mortgage this gold right back to the bank, which sold the gold to them. They would then take the money from the mortgage and purchase more gold at $32 an ounce. Mortgage that at 100% value, and then again purchase more gold. Repeating this method over and over, the bankers and money speculators began to drain off the ownership of gold with the possibility of redeeming that gold, which was being tied up by the mortgages, redeeming this at $32 an ounce. This continued on a gigantic scale, and the gold, which was tied up suddenly, began to be tied up into the banks of other nations. And these nations having mortgages which allowed them to redeem this gold at $32 an ounce. After a short amount of time passes, the price of gold becomes quite valuable in different countries. The then President of the United States, Richard Nixon, made the announcement that he would put an end to the gold speculators and their efforts to destroy the American dollar by taking the gold backing off the dollar. When this happened, the price of gold shot skywards. And I believe a part of this plan for the golden age to be brought back by using, of all things, gold. Yes, the lost days of Atlantis, they want that back. The one world government in Atlantis was real. One king. One people. They're going to use gold to bring back the golden age of Atlantis, and they're going to use gold to do it. You see, the Illuminati believe they are sired from a race of extraterrestrials from another planet. This planet was known as Maldek, a planet belonging to our solar system, which was destroyed. This is how the Illuminati explain the Milky Way. It's supposedly the remnants of a planet that was at one time destroyed by a cataclysmic explosion. The Illuminati believe in one of their past lives, they believe in reincarnation, that they have lived on Maldek. And this is the Luciferian consciousness which is being worked off as part of Earth's karma. They've been told by the Watchers, as they're known, the Earth's karma is about almost totally dissolved. And they believe the entire Illuminati money-changing trip is but a replay of the memory of action which occurred on Maldek, wherein beings were categorized, numbered, and then enslaved. Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. Will history repeat itself? It's looking that way. More next. I'm a guy to call Space. You can email me, spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com. Thanks for the one that you've sent me. Pete writes, speaking of the manipulation and machinations of the Fed, reminds me that we Canadians own our own central bank. The case of Comer versus Bank of Canada seeks to wrest control over our infrastructure lending and associated debt from foreign banks and restore it to us. What do you think the chances of success are? Zero. That's what it is. Zero. They're going through all of this trouble to get us deep into debt. You're never getting off the hook on a technicality. No, there's a quiet war going on. There are many things happening in today's world. Maybe even you can feel it. It's as though things are speeding towards a frantic climax. There are things upcoming and things presently occurring that can be best understood with a background or foundation that's yet to be clarified. This quiet war that's going on, this war going on right now, is a different kind of war than what most people think of when they hear the word war. It's essentially quiet. It's a war that takes place in very many different battlefields. It occurs occasionally in some forms of explosions, such as, you know, a terrorist attack. And it can be a quiet war that rages incessantly at different battlefields and arenas, like the business world, the world of religion. The war, for example, takes place on one battlefield called the media. That's the battlefield I fight on. There's another battlefield called the Department of Justice, the courts of the land, the judicial arena. It occurs in the schools of your nation, in the schools of the world throughout the indoctrination of the children. Through the manner by which the brains of children are manipulated to make them into good and proper soldiers for the war that's coming in a few years. It occurs in the stock exchanges around the world. They're scattered in various places, but are in the form of areas of society. The conflict occurs also in the law enforcement arenas, between different agencies, between different levels of jurisdiction, whether local or statewide or provincial or national. The battle rages between the people from different jurisdictions, too. There's a conflict and dispute that rages between various companies in the business world. But it's more than business itself. It's vying for power. It's seeking out to gain power over competitors or to push certain ones out of the running completely. These are parts of the war. The companies and business that become the strongest during the next few years may be given an opportunity to play with the big boy companies. Otherwise, they're likely to be shuttered altogether. This is also the political war here. Essentially, if people truly understand what is meant by the word political correctness, there's a war going on. It really means it's a popularity contest. Essentially, that is exactly what political correctness is, the position that is most popular, that the elites want everyone to think like. The position that is promoted as being the most popular never is at the beginning, but in the end, all capitulate and accept. If people can begin to understand a certain position as being politically correct and buy into that political correctness, they're seeking to be popular on the agenda of that which is promoted as the politically correct or popular position. There are many, many who are not politically correct, who take a position that's less than popular, whose position is described as unpopular. None of these people described as unpopular will find that gradually their position becomes less and less popular because the masses want to be on the right side of politics. They want to be politically correct. For example, if they're told by the polls or by the media, another of the battlefields, that it is politically correct to think a certain way and politically incorrect to think another way, then they're likely to switch their positions accordingly. This tells you there's a war going on to convince people about what to think. The taking of polls, it's a huge weapon in the Illuminati, a way of waging this propaganda war, part of the machinery that persuades people to take positions which lines them up to give power to one group over another. It's a war for power. Sometimes it erupts in violence, but most times the violence is kept secret or hidden, or is presented in a way that it excuses it or makes it appear that the victims of the violence are evil and unworthy to live. Oh, look at their views. They deserve to die, God. These people, a lot of the time, are vilified without ever having the opportunity to give their side of the story to the press or to the public. The Illuminati-controlled media, of course, is a tool. It's used as a part of the propaganda battle for the Illuminati espousing their spin, and therefore control. Control of the information. And only one side of the story is told. Their side. Oh, except for the odd show like A View from Space on Talk Radio AM 640. The words the global elite actually truly describe the masters being behind controlling factors that are promoting this war against the masses, against humanity all over the earth. I have done a lot of research into this so-called secret society business, and they're from an underground society, the same one that influenced Adolf Hitler. Other people under their control who have contributed to the New World Order's road to the great work being completed, the One World Government, in various ways. And these people from this underground society are related to the Aryan race, who've also been seen and described by people who have claimed to have been abducted by UFOs. Among them, the Khazars, who were a Nordic tribe who used to live on the Volga River. taking taxes from passing boats, sometimes robbing the passing voters of money, creating a kind of society that taxed people and used money for usury purposes to acquire great wealth, meaning lending money at high interest rates. Sound familiar? The Khazars. A lot of researchers have studied these areas to believe that the underground society is more than just mere words or a metaphorical phrase. There is some belief that it's an underground city in the area between China and Tibet called Shambhala. Now, Hitler spoke of having seen the Superman, and that his eyes were frightening, and that he was very afraid when he saw this apparition. These were his words in describing it. Some believe that these extraterrestrials who have long lived underground in this area, these are the ones who supposedly have the ultimate control, the ultimate power over the leaders of the world. I don't call them extraterrestrials. I call them demons. And I believe those demons, myself, have those people under subjugation. The fallen angels and their leader is Lucifer himself, the god of light, knowledge. Knowledge enlightening man to become a god. That's where we're headed. That's why the one world government, because the one world government is going to force a new religion on all, and it will be to worship the leader, the Antichrist of this new world order that's coming. It's the satanic purpose to set up this world so that it becomes part of the Draconian Federation, the Federation that is controlled out of Draco, using influence from Orion, the star system Orion, Draco and Zeta Reticula. These extraterrestrials working through the Aryan race who have influence in this underground city, these Illuminati families who have accepted the job of bringing this Earth in alliance with the Draco Federation and the Orion Empire, who are the elites of the galactic war that's occurring on this planet. The Rothschilds household, to this day, has a place set at their dinner table reserved for Lucifer himself. It's still empty, but set at each evening meal at the table. Aliens have set up the New World Order on a global level. That's next on Talk Radio AM 640. It's the Spaceman. Got a critique of the show? Got an idea for the show? I just want to say where in the world you're listening to A View from Space from on Talk Radio AM 640. Use the email spaceman@640toronto.com or space@640toronto.com, and thank you for the ones you've sent me. Now, on the global level, aliens have set up the New World Order. By that, I mean demons contacted in the spirit world and told to men who go out and, well, the movers and shakers, that create what they've been told to create. Demonization. Demon possession. And the elite, believe me, are possessed. Now, the big picture, on a more global level, is an effort to create a one-world government that is capable of controlling all levels of society through manipulations of individuals, through their ability to buy and sell, and also through the control of health care, and through the education and mind controls available to them through various electronic devices and media, and also through the tattoos that will eventually be placed on every person's hand or forehead, as mentioned in the book of Revelation. You see, the book of Revelation in the King James Version of the Bible is being used as a kind of blueprint for world domination. It's no coincidence that the book of Revelation is actually being used as a kind of blueprint. And it's a fact that the book of Revelation was originally a writing of Sir Francis Bacon in the court of Queen Elizabeth I. Bacon discovered the pattern or plan of alien conquest of a planet and put this information into a book of Revelation. And if you examine it, you'll notice it speaks of the dragon. Instead of calling it the dragon, read as Draco, the constellation Draco. So instead, the readings about the mark of the beast, which is actually a tattoo. You can see how the Templars changed the words in this book. Sir Francis Bacon writing it in this book in an attempt to expose the plans of the extraterrestrials to the masses. It becomes inserted in the New Testament almost accidentally. There were people who were very much opposed to it being put in the New Testament because it had some useful value in helping to control Christians. It was eventually decided to put it in and use it as a means of coercion. If you do not follow Christianity properly, you'll be doomed. Most people too busy making a living to get involved. And there's this brainwashing going on, many different levels in so many areas of society that people simply want to back off and forget about all of it. And not think about it. And just concentrate on the hardships of daily life. God knows daily life is hard enough without all of this, they say. Stick their head in the sand. Act like it's not happening. It'll pass. No, it won't. It's difficult for them to cope with everyday problems of life, and for some, there's no one capable working to support the family. People are having greater and greater difficulty surviving, and therefore they have no time to worry about spiritual pursuits or the spiritual threats or the threats of extinction and their freedoms. They only want to know how to get another meal for their kids. When the day ends, they just want to veg out in front of the virtual reality screen. And each day they go through the same concern again. The same problems again. How do they make ends meet? This is a major problem for a lot of people. And they are open to anything that the government tells them. They don't have time to question. They don't have the time or sometimes even interest to pursue any search for truth. This is a time when people absolutely need to help each other right now. It's a time when you have have-nots and haves. And are being told, we're stripping you of what little you have left. Unless you learn how to make more money yourself, you're not getting anything more from us. You're not getting anything more from the government. The welfare programs are being cut off to the poor, while being enhanced to the corporations. Corporations are being given greater and greater amounts through cuts in taxes, through handouts from the government. Corporate welfare has become acceptable to the masses, brainwashed us. But private individual welfare is a sin of all sins, a shame of a nation. And entities want to see it stop immediately. If the children cannot survive, then put them in foster homes. Or as one person said, into orphanages. It's time when heartless measures are taken. But it's only the beginning of this type of treatment of the poor. How much worse will it get as we move closer and closer to the New World Order? You know the answer to that. Right now, there is still the semblance of compassion from higher officials. There is still the pretense of caring about masses. But once the New World Order is put in place, there will be no need to be sympathetic or to appear compassionate to anyone at all. I believe that time is approaching, and quickly, soon. If the Illuminati has its way, there will be be a global government that reaches into every home, dictates what you do, what you have, what you eat, what you see, what you read, what your job will be. They may separate parents from children even, breaking up families deliberately in order to have better control and to have less motivation among individuals. If you do not have your family with you, what motivates you to do anything but obey and survive? If they can get families broken up, they have more control over the family. There will also soon be new forms of biological warfare that destroys entities through disease, starvation, plague, pestilence, so that the population of Earth can be reduced after the work has been completed that slave labor brings. There may be a time wherein people can remain alive as long as they work hard, just like it was in Nazi Germany. History is going to repeat itself. Many of those who later became part of the millions who died did remain alive as long as they were capable of working. But the time eventually came when they no longer could function as slave labor. And they were either starved totally or put to death in some other way. And there are many who will say, but life is so comfortable for me right now. I don't want to raise any problems. I don't want to put myself at risk messing up my comfort zone. I don't want to disrupt the comfort of my home. I have everything just the way I want it after working so long, so hard for the few things that I have in my life to get this way. I don't want to speak out against anything or do anything that would cause the thought police to come to my door. That's the type of intimidation the Illuminati are going to count on as keeping people in line so that the silence eventually allows the ones who kept silent to become victimized without a sound on their behalf. We're in a kind of war right now, where the screams aren't heard at this moment. The gunshots aren't heard on the streets at the moment. It's a war that takes its victims now. But the victims do not even realize they've been taken. And the screams will not come for maybe months or years from now. Then they will scream and ask, what happened to my country? Where's my world? Where's my family? How did this all come to be like it is now? What have you done to my life? This awareness indicates the screams are delayed, the gunshots delayed, but the controls are being put in place now, quietly, thoroughly and completely, so that no one will be able to wiggle or move when the strings are tightened. Runs on banks. I've had a lot of people emailing me about what they should do about their banking money. And for fear of you maybe doing what I say, I'm not going to comment further. But I will tell you this. If you think you can get out of the system with your money as the system implodes, you got another think coming. It's Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. More next. I'm going to call Space. It's View from Space. Talk Radio, AM 640. Emails to space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. I read every single one, and I thank you so much for the one that you've sent. Thank you. Now, the masses, once the New World Order is put in place, being divided into ultra-poor and ultra-rich by getting rid of the middle class, will be a lot easier to manipulate and manage by our overlords. This is our situation that's affecting the world in which you now live. You can continue to ignore the realities, You can continue to listen to the fairy tales promoted by the Illuminati-controlled mass media, but the reality continues to exist, whether we want to believe it or not. And there's still a lot of people who believe the Illuminati-controlled mass media version of reality, what they see on their screen. It's all too easy to believe that the media version of reality. It's more pleasant to believe in a friendly government. That your representative in government actually represents you and is actually out to do your bidding. And you've heard a thousand times, if you've heard it once, the politicians work for us. Really? Are you that brainwashed? It's more pleasant to believe there are no conspiracies and that everything exists exactly the way it's portrayed on television. And these people will look at those who believe in conspiracies as though they're, well, crazy. And those who understand the conspiracies look at the people who don't as though they're naive, wishful thinking, shallow people who live in la-la land. There are so many right now in your country walking around with their heads in the sand, believing in la-la land, but who have very snobbish attitude about it too, and look down at those who are groveling in the dirt, or whose friends have been killed, or whose actions and studies and research has led them to recognize the world as not a very pleasant place, and could be a lot better if we would just simply all work together to make it so. Today in Geneva, Switzerland, there's a computer. It's at the European Organization for Nuclear Research, CERN, which situated in the northwest suburbs of Geneva in the Franco-Swiss border. You've heard about it. Computer's immense. Tim Berners-Lee, a scientist at CERN, the man who invented the World Wide Web in 1990, is closely associated with a more sinister project. Yes, directing the World Wide Web into a supercomputer capable of looking into anyone's device, whether you're logged on or not. Having all the information at their fingertips to go and come from only one central location. And that would be when it's all connected at CERN headquarters in Geneva. So what I'm saying is that your service provider as we have today, it may be a number of different companies that are actually giving you a ramp onto the internet. That's all. They just provide the path for you to get on the internet. The internet itself is always out there running. But to get on it, you need a service provider. They're going to be eliminated. The service provider eliminated. You will log on directly to one central location, one central server for the entire world. Every device in the entire world will have to log on to CERN, the beast computer in Belgium. Have you seen their logo? Stylized 666. It's now tied in to all the banks of the world. This computer is the beast. Its self-programming has the capacity for housing a number of every entity upon this earth. These numbers are prefixed by three numbers. 666. The banking system is prepared to shift their economic banking system into a computerized system too, wherein all entities, you and I, would either use a card or a number rather than cash, checks, or credit. This is the electronic funds transfer system I spoke about earlier. and the world will be broken into 10 regions when the New World Order arrives. The computer now has the capability of being tied into all computers on Earth, and very soon, in each of the soon-to-be-set-up 10 economic regions of the world, and into those computers in each of the major banks of the major cities that the local stores. Many of these are actually already tied into those computers within these cities. The plan calls for a crisis to occur, whereby all people will be required to receive a government number. A short time later, these people will be tattooed with invisible upon their hands or upon their foreheads. This tattoo shall then replace the credit card, and the people will be expected to use this number for every single purpose and transaction. And this number would be their identification from birth until death. The arguments for this will be that this will stop crime, that this will speed up service in the supermarkets, that the people will no longer need to receive a payroll check, but shall simply have their payment deposited in their bank account, and will never need to write a check, and will simply present their number whenever they go, and the computers will deduct the purchase from their account. This has been tested and tried in various places, and is now ready to be presented in full scale all over the world, as soon as they crash the currencies. People who are aware should ask themselves, who creates the money? Why do they create it? How? And why can I not create money like they can? And who pays them? Do they simply create the money out of nothing? Why must I spend my life working for those who create their money out of nothing? Why must I have a number to belong to a system I didn't create? What are the motives of these people in creating this kind of a system? How much power do they desire? What kind of controls are placed upon them to prevent them from misusing their power or control over all the people of the world? Who would have this number? And what can be done to reverse this action once it's established? It's the Spaceman. Got answers? They're next on Talk Radio AM 640. I'm the guy they call the Spaceman. It's Talk Radio AM 640. I communicate by email only. Only way, spaceman at 640toronto.com or space at 640toronto.com. So, people will not be able to buy from one another without going through their account at the computer when this beast is plugged in, set up at CERN, that's going to be used for the new world economy. There will be no money. It'll be only a digitally recorded transaction. No money will be used at all. Just digital information on what you have in your account and what you're debited. Once this action is established, anyone who objects to this action will find themselves being called a criminal. People who become part of the system shall find that every book he or she reads, every type of food he or she eats, every item that they will buy will be computerized and saved with their nanotechnology at CERN, and there will be no privacy left. The beast will know everything you read, everything you eat, everything you buy, everything you digitally store and save for reference. And the beast will also have a complete all-seeing eye placed upon your life. When this occurs, the greatest trials and tribulations ever seen or thought of on this earth will come upon this planet and will be experienced by many. People, for example, will not be able to buy from one another without first going through their account. The 5% tax will be, in a short time, raised to 10% tax, and then 15%. And the final plan is that all people shall give 25 or more percent of their earnings in their purchasing and sales tax. The energy shall be deducted at a rate of 25% for their purchases. This begins creating a greater and greater difference in classes until there are only the super rich, who are the all-powerful, and the bureaucratic rulers who are beneath them, and the masses of slaves who do the work, the bidding, and answers the whims of the rulers below them. This is your alternative to the freedom you've known, and is presented to you by these money changers as part of your future world. This is the beginning of that great drive by the Illuminati to tighten the nets around the minds of men, economically, to destroy the constitutions of nations, to begin tightening up their controls and their deceptions, and to confuse and manipulate the masses. The attention toward the beast. This will also be happening very soon with greater intensity because the Illuminati's energy is focused on a certain central location toward the beast. Not the left, not the right, the beast. Those who use money for power, control, manipulation, were programmed by occult forces that say they were around when Atlantis existed, and are set to use the people today to possess, to inhabit, to create the one world slave state. These people behind the scenes today, and many of the wealthy and powerful elite who support them, are totally unaware of the programming and are themselves victims of this occult programming. It's the way they were brought up. The Illuminati believed approximately 500,000 years ago, you see, the Galactic Confederation cordoned off six planets in the area of Orion, that constellation. But they were spreading war and violence throughout inhabited planets. And these planets, over long periods of time, have continued in their struggle to conquer one planet after another. Does this sound a little like Star Trek and Star Wars to you? It should, because it's meant to. Where do you think Gene Roddenberry got his ideas from? I just told you. The Illuminati are going to convince most people that the Earth is essentially in the grips of war between planets, and has been for 12,000 years in an intense level, and prior to that, in a less intense level, for approximately 60,000 years. These entities, these demonic spirits from those other realms, have the capability of transcending or transmuting certain vibratory rates in the electromagnetic spectrum and traveling from place to place in the universe. This relates to that which has been called Hades, Celestria. That those in the vibratory rates known as Celestria, as being capable of extending high levels of energy to certain people upon this plane for healing purposes, yet these people are supposedly not allowed to interfere with the destiny of anyone on this planet unless requested and unless invited. Sounds all very, very controlling, doesn't it? Well, that's the world that's coming. The spirits from that vibratory rate known as Hades, having invaded this plane and having set up camps in physical levels, are using the Illuminati adepts as conduits for their purposes of conquering the Earth, and those demon-possessed people are the forces who are attempting to use the controls of computers and the branding of people to make them their slaves. There's two sides that are fighting, all right. which are the forces of Celestria of light and the forces of Hades, darkness. They're not competing with each other over the human soul, but rather have an agreement with each other that those who are of a higher vibration, who seek not to be given all that which would gratify their personal lusts and greed and power desires, those who would serve others and love others are those which, by the agreement, will be allowed to enter into those vibratory realms known as Celestria. Those who are seeking to preserve self at all costs, at the price of concern of love for others, those who seek security, who are willing to become slaves in order to survive, these entities who are willing to harm others, rather, in order to save themselves, these are the entities who will be susceptible to the branding action of those from Hades, and these entities shall indeed be given the citizenship of that area known as Hades. Yet you will pick, you will choose who you'll serve. It'll not be explained in receiving the mark of the beast that a person could lose their soul. What is meant, though, is that the mark of the beast essentially is a mark which shows that you are branded as being owned by the so-called extraterrestrials or the Illuminati. You are owned by those who are behind the New World Order. They essentially are the beast. The Draconians are the beast from Draco. That was called the dragon in the book of Revelation, in the King James Version of the Bible. These are those that many people refer to as the reptilians. Yes. This all, of course, is going to happen after the crash of the economies of the world. And it's the Canadian dollar, the American dollar, that will be no more. The American and the Canadians and the Mexicans will join together to save themselves, gather together for security as one of the 10 regions of the world that'll be broken up into 10 areas. Just like it was in the days of Atlantis. 10 kings, one for each of the territories, economical territories, reporting to the 11th, who is the Antichrist. It's the Spaceman on Talk Radio, AM 640. There's more right after this break. I'm the guy that calls Space. It's a view from Space. It's Talk Radio, AM 640. Got a comment on tonight's show? Got a question, critique? Use the email system at space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. What the Bank of International Settlements is, the BIS? Well, central banks run a country, correct? The central bank has a master bank, the International Monetary Fund, that will lend countries money. Then after the International Monetary Fund runs out of money, there is one place left to go, the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements. It was the one that divided the world up after the Second World War, BIS, and effectively set up the American dollar as the de facto currency of the world, the go-to currency. In other words, after the Second World War, your country flattened, you have to invest in America. Buy American bonds, invest in American dollars, change your money into American dollars to buy oil to refurbish your country, to rebuild it. So everyone was forced to borrow American dollars after the Second World War. Bretton Woods Accord, set that up, and the BIS, the Bank for International Settlements, were the ones that divvied everything up. The BIS is the end-all, be-all. That's the Illuminati stronghold. When the International Monetary Fund runs out of money, and it will, on trying to bail out countries, there is only one place left to go after that. BIS, the Bank for International Settlements. So you see, it's a dead-end street. And the BIS has said that the stimulus packages around the world, Europe is doing one right now, trillion and more. The Americans have already done a trillion 850 billion. This, by the BIS reckoning, would ultimately cause more damage than it was to prevent. Simply delaying the inevitable and making the inevitable that much worse. I totally believe the stimulus packages around the world have simply delayed the coming depression. And by adding significant numbers to the massive debt bubbles of the world's nations, will ultimately make the depression worse than had governments not injected massive amounts of money into the economy. This coming depression was set up by the lessons learned after the last great depression of the 30s, when governments wouldn't print more money. They made the situation even worse. No one in economic circles is Keynesian economics. This is precisely what Ben Bernanke said he'd do if he was ever faced with his kind of situation when he was only a board member on the Federal Reserve. Ben Bernanke, remember, is one of the foremost experts on the 29 stock exchange crash. When Alan Greenspan was about to step down as head of the Fed, I correctly predicted that Ben Bernanke was to be his replacement. You might even remember, if you're a regular listener to ABFS on Talk Radio AM 640, me doing that. I've been watching the U.S. economy for years now, and when I found out that Bernanke was one of the foremost experts on the 1929 crash, I knew right then who was going to get the job as the federal chairman. The Fed's chairmanship, and he did. In 2002, when the word deflation began appearing in the business news, Bernanke gave a speech about deflation, and in that he mentioned that the government, in a fiat money system, owns the physical means of creating money. Control of the means of production of money implies the government can always avoid deflation by simply wishing more, printing more money. He referred to a statement by Milton Friedman about using a helicopter drop of money, surely you remember that, into the economy to fight deflation. That's where he got the nickname Helicopter Ben from. He said he'd fly helicopters over U.S. cities and dump out U.S. dollars and spend his way out of it. He also said, I would like to say to Milton Friedman and Anna Jacobson-Schwartz, joint authors of a book called A Monetary History of the United States, a book about the Great Depression. You're right, he said. We did it. We're very sorry. I mean, caused the depression. But thanks to you, it won't happen again. But guess what? It's going to happen again. It's already happening again. And the tables are about to be turned. This time, they'll be proven wrong. The world is a very different place now. I believe the American government says they're in trillions, in the teens, in debt. I believe it's $65 trillion that has been systematically removed from the world's economy. Spending is not the way out. That's the trap that's been set. The secret to money is not gold. It's debt. That's the power. The world has been functioning on a debt-based global economy. This debt-based monetary system, controlled and operated by the global central banking system, of which the APEX is the Bank for International Settlements, the BIS, is unsustainable. This is the real bubble, the debt bubble. When this bubble bursts, and it will burst, the world will enter into the greatest depression in world history. Dmitry Orlov, author of Reinventing Collapse, The Soviet Example in American Prospects, New Society Publishers, 2008, watched the collapse of the Soviet Union in the 90s and predicted a similar crisis would later occur in America. Buckminster Fuller also predicted the collapse of the Soviet Union and America way back in 1981. The Twilight of the World's Power Structures, in his book, The Critical Path. Both nations, he wrote, crippled by excessive debt, brought on by excessive military spending, and were fading behemoths whose passing would make way for a better world. Of course he'd say that. He was an Illuminati member. He was the son of Richard Buckminster Fuller and Caroline Wolcott Andrews, and also the grandnephew of the American transcendentalist Margaret Fuller. She was involved with the revolution in Italy and allied herself with Giuseppe Mazzini. Who was Giuseppe Mazzini? An Italian philosopher, Freemason, and politician. He was a 33rd degree Freemason, Grand Master, founder of the Italian Freemasonry, revolutionary, terrorist leader, Sicilian gangster mafia. Mafia actually stands for Mazzini, Autor, Isa, Furti, Incendi, Avvelenamenti. In English, that means Mazzini authorizes thefts, fires, and poisonings. Margaret Fuller also met Giovanni Ossoli, whom she had a child. All three members of that family died in a shipwreck off Fire Island in New York, having traveled back to the United States in 1850. And Fuller's body was never, ever recovered. Buckminster Fuller was the guy who popularized through books the words Spaceship Earth. He was not the inventor, but he developed and popularized the idea and received a U.S. patent, as a matter of fact, for the geodesic dome that he designed. You've seen these spheres in places around the world, like New York's Queens Zoo and Flushing Meadows Corona Park, the Biosphere in Montreal, originally the Expo 67 dome, and the Cinesphere Dome in Ontario Place, the amusement park in Ontario, Canada, also the Climatron greenhouse at Missouri Botanical Gardens has one of those geodesic domes. You see, the power of these elites and their bloodlines and how they all work in tandem with one another can be seen if you look carefully. This is Spaceman on Talk Radio, AM 640. More right after this break. Thanks so much for your emails tonight. Absolutely incredible you are with those emails. I communicate by email only. That's space@640toronto.com or spaceman@640toronto.com. Dmitry Orlov, I just mentioned him, the author of Reinventing Collapse. The man watched the Soviet Union collapse in the 90s and predicted a similar type crisis would later occur in America. Dmitry Orlov is an Illuminati member, and believe me, he was authorized to write this book, to put it out there, to get people understanding of what's going on. Because, like predictive programming in the movies, they'll always show you what the future is, so that when it does arrive, you're sort of comfortable-ish, familiar-ish with it, because You've seen it before. So, Dmitry Orlov, when he wrote Reinventing Collapse, he said there are similarities between the two superpowers and their collapse. The one that has already collapsed, Russia, and the one that is going to collapse, he says, America. He says, I feel ready to attempt a bold conjecture and define five stages of collapse to serve as mental milestones as we gauge the Western world's collapse preparedness. Stage one includes a financial collapse. Stage two of the plan, he says, is the commercial collapse. Stage three, the political collapse. Stage four, the social collapse. And finally, stage five, a complete cultural collapse. That means an end to the way we do finances today, the end of the way we do commercialism today, the end of politics as we know it today, the end of social interaction ending, and the ending of the culture that we now enjoy. Stage one, by Dmitry Orlov, features a financial collapse where faith in business as usual is totally lost. The future is no longer assumed to resemble the past in any way, shape, or form that allows risk to be assessed and financial assets to be actually guaranteed. Financial institutions become insolvent. Savings are wiped out in this stage one, and access to capital is lost. No borrowing. Your savings wiped out. Stage two is the commercial collapse. Faith that the market shall provide is gone. Money is then devalued and or becomes scarce. Commodities are hoarded. Import and retail chains break down. Widespread shortages of survival necessities become the normal. And in stage one in Orlov's scenario, the financial collapse, I believe it's well underway. The vast majority of investment and commercial banks are now actually insolvent. Falsely propped up and still in business only because of recently granted government guarantees designed to prevent workers from realizing their life savings are in imminent danger or are already wiped out. In Orlov's stage one, savings and access to capital are lost. In modern economies, capital, for example, credit-based paper, has been substituted for real money, gold and silver. Credit-based paper is no more real money than the imagined belief that man is God. Savings in mature and credit-based economies like the U.S. and the U.K. are now virtually non-existent. Capital is but thinly disguised credit, and credit is now fast disappearing, a condition that will be fatal to those addicted to its continuing presence. For example, the corporations, governments, workers, especially in the U.S., the U.K., Europe. New loan activity has fallen 91% year to year. The coming consequences, you see, will be unprecedented and extraordinary. In 2009, we witnessed the economic train wreck that's just now beginning to be put into motion. It'll not be a one-time event. It'll be a successive series of protracted crises with continuing breakdowns in access to credit, continuing breakdown to access in goods, to services, and an escalating, cascading series of previously unseen and, I believed, unimaginable events. In today's monetarily based markets, credit has become essential for all commercial activity. And this dream of bankers is the nightmare of producers and savers. Credit becomes compounding debt, which becomes bankers' profits, which in turn result in increasing defaults on loans and financial bankruptcy. Modern economics isn't rocket science. It's an abomination on the economic body of mankind. It's a sickness even, foisted on us by the Illuminati. Stage two in Orlov's scenario will follow the wake of stage one, of course. And stage two is closer today than it was yesterday. The end game predicted by some will now become the reality for all. The predicted events have no basis in recent memory for those who will be affected. The 300-year-old world founded on credit-based paper money is going to end. The world's central banks, which substituted paper for gold, are finding themselves unable to solve the problems that fiat money, air money, money created out of thin air, has created. The consequences are far greater than people can imagine. You see, when you were on the gold standard, if you had $10 million of people's money, you had to have $10 million of gold in your vault to back it. Today, that's been removed. Now it's air money, fiat money. Money made out of thin air. Nothing. Worthless. We who've grown up in the world of credit and debt have no memory of real understanding of the role that gold played in monetary affairs before the substitution of the central bank credit-based paper for sound money backed by something of worth. When the connection was cut between gold and money, few understood the consequences. Those consequences are now arriving. Stage one in Orlov's scenario is pretty far along. Stages two and three, commercial and political collapse, are driven by financial collapse and will overlap each other. Right now it's unclear which one is farther along, the commercial or the political. On one hand, there are signs that the global shipping is grinding to a halt and that big box retailers are in for a very bad time, with a lot of stores likely to close following a disastrous Christmas season coming up. And on the other hand, in America, most states are already experiencing massive budget shortfalls, laying off estate workers, cutting back on programs, starting to beg the federal government for bailout money. It's not looking like there's a cure. The only cure would be to print more phony money. And that's not working out. It's a Spaceman Talk Radio, AM 640. I'm back after this break. I'm the guy to call Space. It's a View from Space, Talk Radio, AM 640. Thank you so much for your emails tonight. Let me just read one more here. Final segment of tonight's show. Space, I've read the books by Orlov and feel that between these books and the book of Sal Alinsky, Rules for Radicals, we can see the clear path being laid out before us for the future of the world. The coming collapse will hit many hard because they continue to believe in the old system, the old way of doing things. As an employee of the government, I see this every day, as most of those around me still believe in saving for retirement in the stock market. I get odd looks from the very few I have told that money as we now know it will no longer exist. by the time you retire in 20 to 30 years. A simple look at the value of the dollar since 1913 should convince most, but it doesn't. The masses find it insane to buy gold with Federal Reserve notes, thinking that they are paid, what they are paid, is real money, the paper, and not the gold. As a police officer, knowing what I know, I would rather issue arrest warrants for the central bankers. But again, most of the population would think I was insane for doing so. They would rather believe in the system robbing them in front of their eyes than to dare challenge their current belief system. Signed S, an American policeman. Yes, the stage one is the financial collapse of Orlov. Dmitry Orlov watched the Soviet Union collapse and predicted one for America later. So the financial collapse is stage one. Seems to be particularly painful if you happen to have a lot of money. On the other hand, you'll run across a lot of people all the time who feel that, hey, nothing's happened to me yet. These are mostly younger people, though, relatively successful people who have little or no savings whatsoever and still have a good paying job. Or unemployment insurance that hasn't run out yet. Their daily lives aren't much affected by the turmoil of financial markets, and they don't believe that anything different is happening beyond the usual economic ups and downs. But this time, it's different. Commercial collapses, much more obvious. That's stage two. Observing it doesn't entail opening envelopes and examining columns of figures. It's painful to most people and life-threatening to some. When store shelves are stripped bare of necessities and remain that way for weeks at a time, panic will set in. This is the commercial collapse. This is happening now in some Eastern European countries. In most places, it requires some sort of emergency response to make sure that people are not deprived of food, shelter, medicine, and that some measures of security and public order is maintained. People who do know what's coming can prepare to try and sit out the worst of it. Stage three is the political collapse. It's more painful yet because it's directly life-threatening to many people. The breakdown, you see, of public order would then be particularly dangerous, especially in the U.S. because of the large number of social problems, the number of guns that have been swept under the carpet for all those years. Americans, more than most people, need to be protected from each other at all times. What would you prefer? Martial law? Or the only other alternative? Complete and utter mayhem, lawlessness, anarchy. I know, neither are very good choices, but the Illuminati are taking the gloves off now and are about to squeeze citizens of the world to see it their way. A one-world government that will forgive all debt, stop all the infighting, provide food, provide shelter, provide clothing to all who will accept the demonic Antichrist system. Did you hear me when I said, clearly, when I said, they're taking the gloves off? And the one world government will forgive all debt? Well, only the creditor is able to forgive debt. The creditor, the banking cabal, is the demonic enemy. Stage four and stage five, social, cultural collapses, seem to already begin to happen in many parts of the country. What social activity remains seems to be anchored in transitory activities like work, shopping, and sports. Religion is the largest exception, and many communities are organized around churches, but in places where society and culture rare still intact. I believe the social and cultural collapse is actually avoidable. And that this is where we must really, really dig in our heels. Also, I think it's very important that we learn to see our surroundings for what they have become. In a lot of places, it feels as if there just isn't that much left that's worth trying to save. If all the culture we see is commercial culture, and all the society we see is a consumer society, then the best we can do is walk away from it. Look for other people who are ready to do the same. Ellen Brown, she's a person who developed her research skills as an attorney, practicing civil litigation in the United States. In her book, Web of Debt, she turns those skills into an analysis of the Federal Reserve and the money trust. She shows how this private cartel has usurped the power to create money from the people themselves. She believes the U.S. dollar has a 50% devaluation coming, and the IMF will be part of the global central bank. Are you under the impression that if a global central bank was actually set up that everyone agreed to think, do you think that that would solve the problems and everything would then return to normal? The Illuminati intend that there will be no easy fixes this time. I believe they're making a grab for it all. And this IMF, the International Monetary Fund, just like many, many, many other financial institutions, will also be given the power and then go broke itself. Bankrupt, leaving no alternative, which is the intent and has been all along, to cause World War III. Just listen to how the International Monetary Fund is being used to set up to fail. Ellen Brown states in her book, a year ago, nobody wanted to know the International Monetary Fund. Now it's the organizer of the international stimulus package, which has been sold as a stimulus package for our poorer countries. The IMF may have capitulated to a more exalted status than that, according to Jim Rickards, director of market intelligence for scientific consulting firm Ominous. The unannounced purpose of the G20 summit that was held in Pittsburgh was that the International Monetary Fund is being anointed as the global central bank to come. Rickards said that the plan for the IMF to issue a global reserve currency that can replace the American dollar, as it now holds the reserve currency position in the world. They've issued debt for the first time in history, says Rickards. They're issuing SDRs. The last SDR came out around 1980, or 81, somewhere around $30 billion now. The special drawing rights, that's what an SDR is. A synthetic currency originally created by the International Monetary Fund to replace gold and silver in large international transactions. What's in store? I think it was covered tonight here on Talk Radio AM 640. Coast to Coast is next. This has been A View from Space. I'm Space and I'm out.